Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing? Look, our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
It's the Nightcap.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic. You know that?
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm pathetic.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something.
There isn't.
What's up? It's the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase here on WGR. Full show tonight. Getting you into Easter weekend and into draft week, which is coming up starting on Monday. I want to talk plenty of draft tonight, so stay tuned for that. Nate Geary is going to join me in just a second. He's hanging out on the Western Hotline. We'll keep you updated on the NHL playoffs throughout the night. There's only two games, though. Leafs and Bruins are just about to get underway. NBA playoffs as well. We'll talk a little bit of that as well with Nate right now. Let's bring him on. Nate Geary is on the Western Hotline. And Nate, how you doing? You got the new mock draft up?
It is. It is up, and I did a nice little trade up with Quinnen Williams, and then I promptly got told that I was an idiot.
For the trade up idea, or for I'm assuming it's for that and not Quinnen Williams, because he seems pretty.
Yeah, trading up for a defensive lineman, I think people were upset about. I'm not sure why. It's just like this is the one draft that you would probably want to do it, right? I mean, you're talking about, especially at the top, and now you're starting to see some of the quote-unquote prognosticators that a lot of us would look to in situations to who have a track record of being pretty damn spot on, especially in the top 10. Talking about Ed Oliver now at 3 to the Jets. That has been the first time I've seen Ed Oliver popping up on multiple mock drafts in the top 3. Everything else we've seen, you know, basically sees him dropping to the Bills at 9. Which I think is probably an ideal world for everybody. I think most people would say the ideal situation for the Bills is they're picking between Hockenson, Ed Oliver, and like, you know, Andre Dillard or Jonah Williams, right? So like that's probably the best case scenario. But I mean, if Ed Oliver's not there, that means someone else has fallen. So maybe Quinnen Williams gets to 5, and if he does, I mean, there's going to be plenty of teams calling a trade up. So.
Speaking, so you can check out Nate's mock draft on our website, WGR550.com, radio.com app. On the specific thing you got there with Quinnen Williams going 5th if the Bills traded up there. Mm-hmm. Like, normally I hate the idea of trading up, but this year I'd say I'm okay with it and I'm okay with what you had in there because, I don't know, it seems like they did a lot in free agency and you've got 10 picks. There's only so many roster spots. Right. They're going to be up for grabs to begin with.
Yeah, not only that, but you're talking about maybe when you look at the roster right now, it's probably the most depth that they've had to go into like a training camp from the really in a very long time. Like they are 2 to 3 deep at all the important positions, except for really the defensive line. So I look at it like this: Quinnen Williams is 21 years old. To me, trading up to get into the top 5 to get Quinnen Williams if he falls to 5 makes a ton of sense. In my scenario, they get to move up to the 5th spot while also maintaining 3 picks in the top 75, which is, I think, key. I think they end up with 70 and 74 in that scenario. So obviously you don't have a second-round pick, but you know the depth at the other positions they might be looking to add, running back, wide receiver, tight end, all readily, I think you can still look at plenty of guys at in the 70 range that can make impacts. But I think more importantly, you add a core piece to your defense at 21 years old. Now you're pairing him with a 20-year-old Tremaine Edmonds, a 24-year-old, you know, Tre'Davious White, and a 24-year-old Matt Milano. You're talking about a really good young core of players at, I think, you know, maybe some of the most important positions for defense. So, it would make a lot of sense to me. I have no problem with the Bills if they decide. And listen, Brandon Bean has basically shown he does not feel like trading up is a waste of value. Whether or not everyone has to agree with that, I don't. It doesn't really matter. I think the point here is that he should do everything he can to get the best available player. And if he that means trading up inside the top five to do it, I don't think he, I don't. If they trade up in the top five to get a top five player in this draft class, I don't think anyone should be upset about it.
The only part of me that would even think that I would be upset about it, I think I'd be okay with it, but the only part of me that would have reservations is the fact of what position it is. Like, defensive tackle,
right.
I'm not a big fan of Lotulelei. I know he has a job to do, and he does the job that he was
right.
paid to do, but I'm still not a big fan of his style in today's game, paying that much. Harrison Phillips, I didn't see a lot from in rookie one or in year one, but, I mean, he should have some sort of promise. And then Jordan Phillips, I really liked last year for the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, my only reservation with trading up in that idea is it sounds like I'm doing it for defensive tackle, and I don't know, I feel like the Bills should be able to fill that position without investing very heavily, more heavily than they've already. I mean, they have invested in it. $10 million a year, roughly, to Lotulelei, a third-round pick, and Phillips. I feel like you shouldn't have to do more than that, and if you do, maybe you're admitting defeat on one of those two ideas.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. The three technique position, especially in Sean McDermott's defense, obviously we know the importance of Star Lotulelei at the one technique, right? Like, he's not really there to put up huge TFL numbers, huge sack numbers from the interior.
Right.
He's meant to take on double teams that allow your linebackers to play more freely
yep.
against the run. Obviously, that's his position, and that it, even though I'm kind of in the same camp as you, I understand his duty or, you know, what his purpose is in the team. It doesn't necessarily mean I think he's worth his value in that, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Well, right, because you really can't have him on the field in third downs or in all passing situations.
No, 100%. And that's maybe what makes a guy like Quinn Williams the most unique, right, because of his body size, his agility. He can bump down to the one technique on the third down, and then you bring, Lorenzo Alexander to play the three tech, and you got Trent Murphy and you know, Jerry Hughes on the outside. That's a pretty dynamic front four on third down. So, you know,
so I guess my bigger problem, actually, just to interrupt you for a second here, I think my bigger problem then, because like you said there, Williams, you said he's good enough and the talent is high enough there where he's going to give me an impact, whether he's playing one technique or three technique.
Right.
I think my bigger issue is the idea of drafting Ed Oliver at 9 because it's risky with his size. Plus then, like there, like he's not going to have the body type where he can fill both of those roles in my mind.
I agree with that, but I also think the versatility of what they do defensively on that defensive line is even if you have an Aaron Donald, let's say, for instance, we put Aaron Donald on the Bills roster right now. Is Aaron Donald getting the same snap share here in Buffalo that he is in L.A.? And I think it's crazy to say, but I really do, although I think that they would probably modify their, quote, rotation a little bit because you've got mm-hmm. the most dynamic defensive pass rusher in the interior of a defensive line and one of the best run defenders in the league in Aaron Donald. So maybe you're playing him, you know, 75% to 80% of the snaps, but they really believe that availability and being fresh all throughout four quarters really plays to what they want to do in terms of what they want to do up front defense. So, you know, that's why it's important for them to have two deep at the three technique position. That's why it's super important that they've got four guys they can rotate at the defensive end position on both sides. So they've got the depth. I think the question is, do they have that one player in the middle that every great defense has? And I think everybody kind of looks back at the Carolina drafts, right? Because that's what we do. And I'm trying to think of the name, Quan Short, I believe his name is, that they
yep.
drafted in the first round. And that's sort of their guy in the middle. And the Bills need their guy in the middle. And if it's Ed Oliver, I think it's fine because I think he's likely going to be playing in that 60 to 65% of the snaps where his, well, first of all, I mean, he's never played an NFL snap, so his sort of greenness, you can work him in that way, but then also you can find maybe the best practices to use with that Oliver. He's a pass rusher. He is not an elite run stopper, but he is absolutely an elite pass rusher from the inside, and the Bills don't have that.
Let's talk wide receiver. Nick Erie's on the Wester Hotline, joining me, Joe DiBiase, here on the Nightcap. You don't have, right, unless I missed it, you don't have Metcalf as a first-round pick in your mock draft.
Not.
Why not?
The more I've been reading around, especially with some of the people, I'm trying to think of who I was, maybe it's Brad Kelly, but I know Brad has him pretty high on their list. But for me, Metcalf.
Draft Network has him fourth overall, I think.
Yeah, you know, maybe you're right. I forget who I was saying, but basically, the more and more you hear from scouts, the more and more it seems like DK Metcalf is kind of falling out of favor with a lot of people, and Hollywood Brown is moving up in a lot of drafts. So is Paris Campbell. So you're starting to see some of these speed guys that provide more than just a straight line speed that maybe provide you more of a gimmick, right? Because I'm thinking of like the Curtis Samuels of the world, the Percy Harbins of the world, guys that can do more, that got that blazing fast speed and have some route running ability. That's the thing I think a lot of people are worried with Metcalf. It's not necessarily to me the fact that the neck injury, I mean, that should be a glaring issue, but I don't think it's a huge issue in the eyes of a lot of people because of what he was able to do in the weight room and how he was able to test and his body frame. I think for me, it comes down to, is he a good enough route runner in the NFL to win one-on-one matchups outside? Because listen, in college, he didn't win a ton of one-on-one matchups by pure brute force, which kind of concerns you because of the size of the man. Like, he should be dominating in man coverage and bump and run, and he doesn't dominate. He has done well, but some of the best corners in this draft, Greedy Williams, for instance, shut him down. And Greedy Williams, I'm sorry, isn't really going to be known as the most, physically dominating cornerback in this draft. In fact, quite the opposite. So that should tell you something. If a smaller player like Greedy Williams, who is absolutely an NFL caliber player, probably the top or second cornerback going to be drafted. But to me, a guy like DK Metcalf at his size should have absolutely, on 14 targets, Joe, he had 3 catches for 34 yards. So Greedy Williams really shut down DK Metcalf. And that to me is his numbers to me really, they open up kind of, it's a loaded thing when you look at his numbers. Like, you ask why he didn't have the success, and you look at the success of his teammates, and you're like, well, A.J. Brown's probably not going to go before DK Metcalf, but had way more success at the college level, and even his tight end, Knox, So it's just, it's weird to look at, when you look at the stats and then you look at him, it doesn't really match up.
Doesn't it? It's almost a little familiar. It's not a perfect comparison, but doesn't it almost make you feel the same way that you felt about Josh Allen before last year? Like, all the physical tools in the world, he's going to put on a show in shorts and t-shirts, but
yeah.
Like, I'm left wondering, before the draft at least, like, I was impressed with him over the course of the season, but before the draft, like, what was the question you were asking yourself? Like, where's the college production?
Right, and that's totally right. I mean, that's probably going to be the biggest question mark that he's got, and I'm sure that's probably the biggest thing he got asked in those meetings. What was it? Was it scheme? Because if it's scheme, then I think you can maybe figure out a way to, enhance yep. that in your scheme. If you think he fits in your scheme, much like a lot of people in their evaluation of Daniel Jones, like, Daniel Jones, for the most part, is the consensus QB4. He's my QB4. But a lot of people, have been dragging him through. They've been raking him through it. I mean, he's basically been the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson this draft process. Yep. Not to that extent of criticism. But with Daniel Jones, like, he had the worst supporting cast out of the top 5 quarterbacks. He had the worst offensive line. And at the end of the day, they played a lot of really pretty difficult teams in the ACC, which had a better league than I think a lot of people are willing to. Obviously, they have the national championship winner. But I guess my point in this is it's the jobs of the scouting staffs, the GMs, to understand and translate and be able to translate what they see on film and what they see in the weight room and in the classroom that they think maybe better translates. Maybe they think their situation offers, that player a better situation than they had in college. And, I think for DK Metcalf, I don't know that the Bills really say we can offer you a better situation than what you were in. I think he needs to go to a team that's got an established quarterback that maybe already has an established number one receiver. But he reminds me of a Laquon Treadwell all day, a guy that, and same school, that I think is going to get to the next level. And although he's got all those physical tools and that speed, everyone is fast in the NFL. And even the nickel and the dime cornerbacks in this league are some of the best players he would have faced in college. So, it's kind of difficult, but this is the job of scouts to determine whether or not the scheme held a potential player back.
I agree with that a ton. Like, one of my least favorite ideas is Metcalf at 9. That's actually what Sal had mocked to them.
I kind of agree. I know. I'm kind of the same boat as you.
Well, although, the other
I wouldn't hate it.
The other thing you haven't met, I don't know if I'd hate it. I wouldn't like it. But like to me, right, the biggest counter to that idea is it's almost like I'm doing the Sammy Watkins thing over again, isn't it? Like this receiving class is being talked up as maybe not a top heavy one, but it's very deep. Like there are, I feel like I've heard 12 names of guys that could go in the top three rounds of that positions. Am I going to do again the thing where I overdraft the top guy in the class and then watch six or seven guys that get drafted after him go on to have solid careers?
I really think if you're an NFL team that's thinking about taking a receiver in this draft, I would just hate – I'm holding my breath if I'm the team that's taking the first one, because I think that although the depth of it is not to be questioned, I think the eliteness, like the top level, like who is the best receiver in this draft, I don't think there's a consensus on who that number one guy is. There's no Kelvin Johnson. There's no Sammy Watt. Well, even – I mean,
there could be a Sammy Watkins.
There could, right, exactly. Yeah. But there isn't, you know, that guy that is sort of a generational talented wide receiver.
Julio Jones.
There's a bunch of, right, exactly. Julio Jones, exactly, is a perfect example. So I look at it from this, right? Like, if you could be in the second or third round, get a Hedman, or a lot of people don't like Riley Ridley. I don't mind him, but him a third or fourth round guy, in most years is probably a second round pick, you know? So the depth at the position is really great. The tight end position, to me, if I'm looking at a pass catcher and I look at DK Metcalf and I have Hockenson and Metcalf right there, nine times out of ten, maybe 10 out of 10, I'm taking Hockenson, because on top of him being able to provide you a large athletic target like Metcalf, he provides you that running, that run blocking ability that obviously a wide receiver isn't going to bring you. And do they have that type of player right now on the roster at tight end? And I say no.
Yeah.
So the tight end, to me, I think is the most interesting one and maybe the wild card. It's not that we're not talking about it, but it's one that maybe we should talk more about.
I think Hockenson's probably my favorite idea at this point. On quarterback, six days ago, we got into a bit of it. It was more you and Derek, but I jumped in a little bit too. 3.5 as the over-under for quarterbacks in the first round. You had the over, right? You had the over? Do you still feel confident about that?
I don't know. Do we end up putting money down? Because
there's no dollar amount there. I just see me and Derek have
Daniel
the under and you
Jones,
have the over.
I from what it seems like, it's Daniel Jones going in the first round.
Giants, 100%. Maybe.
Yeah.
You think he could go that early? You think he could go that early?
I think, dude, I'm starting to really wonder, and I think it was Mike Renner. Somebody just tweeted out a little while ago.
It was Mike Renner, yeah.
It was Mike Renner saying that there's a team out there right now that really likes Daniel Jones.
Oh, no, that was Charles Robinson.
Charles Robinson as their QB1. And if that's the case, and you're the Giants, and all of a sudden you think, I'm not really willing to wait till 17, and let's say, honestly, it wouldn't blow me away if the Giants go quarterback at 6, whether that's Daniel Jones or whether that's, you know, Dwayne Haskins, I don't know, but I am firmly in the over camp there.
Yeah, couldn't be worse than Eli. But all right, one NBA question I want to ask you. I'm going to give you a choice here. You can either what do you want? Warriors vulnerability right now, or do you want to brag about your Nets kind of hanging tough right now, even though they're down 2-1? Well,
I want to brag about the Nets a little because they need to use their best players more. I read something that D'Angelo Russell had something like 26 minutes.
Yeah.
In their loss the other night, like that guy's
brutal.
Running and driving the pace of play. He needs to be playing 40 minutes a night. There's just no question about it. But at the end of the day, that Philly team should be the favorite in the East. I think that they're the deepest team. If Joel Embiid's healthy, I think they're pretty unstoppable, especially when Ben Simmons is playing like he did when he's pissed off the other night when he dropped 31, 7, and 8, and
And Jared Dudley dropped a 0-1-0 in the same game.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man, though. Like,
bunch of smack.
I think the Nets, like, I like the Sixers. I thought of all the teams in the East, they would have the best chance to win the title because
if they
were going to put it together, they had the enough talent to do it. But what the Nets are kind of exposing right now is that, I don't know, Brent Brown's getting a lot of criticism for not being a big strategic coach. And I think the Nets are kind of proving that. Like, the Sixers should be destroying Brooklyn. And
I agree.
I mean, you lose game one, the next couple games you scored a lot, but you're still giving up a ton of points. Like, they're exposing, I think, the fact that the Sixers, like, at this point, I would not pick them to beat the Bucks, Celtics, or the Raptors.
So I look at that series, the Nets-Sixers series, as what I think a lot of people predicted the Rockets-Jazz series would be, far more competitive. And vice versa, I think a lot of people were looking at this Sixers-Nets series, how the Rockets and Jazz series is currently playing out, where it's just they're blowing out the Jazz. I was very surprised the Jazz haven't been putting up bigger fights. But listen, I think Houston's playing at a level right now that could put them in position to finally beat Golden State. Whether or not, and that video, Joe, I don't know if you saw that video that they were talking, maybe it was like 60 Minutes, was talking to the Warriors guys about not wanting to leave. Like, how could you leave Golden State?
Yes.
And you just see Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant in the background, just like absolutely having nothing to do with it. I am in firm belief that both those guys are going elsewhere next year.
Wait, so. Klay, you think Klay's leaving? Like, I'm on board with Durant. So. To where? The Lakers?
I think Klay wants to. I just think Klay wants to do him. Like, I think he's been tied to the Splash Brothers for so long. I think he wants to go solo. And listen, I don't think that is necessarily the worst thing for Golden State. You still have Steph Curry, and I think that they'll probably bring back Boogie, but they're going to have to try to bring someone else in. And the thing is Golden State is going to be able to get another great player because they've got Steph Curry. So, but I truly believe one or both of those guys are gone.
You want to bet on it? Should we put some action on this,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, let's put that on the board. Let's put it on the board.
You want one and a half or one? What do you I think one's leaving.
One and a half.
One and a half? You're going to take the over?
One and a half.
Okay. Wait, are we including Cousins and Draymond in this,
no.
too?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll work out the details on this. I'm interested.
Though. We will, because that's a good one. That's an interesting one.
I'm interested. You got a mock coming out soon?
I will have my final mock out next week. I've also got my write-ups on my QB2 and my QB1, which will drop Monday and then Wednesday before the draft.
All right. You can follow him at Nate Geary, WGR, on Twitter, and look out for his mock coming next week. All right, Nate, thanks, man.
Dirty Joe D, I appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it. There is Nate Geary on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk some more draft. When we come back, I'll give you an update on the Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs, too, if you want that, too. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
Things about him and the accuracy and everything else. I think that they like guys that they can bring in here. They know they have a good work ethic, but there's also some stuff out there that's going to make them work even harder. 2 or 3 months ago, before this craziness of the offseason sets in, with Jonah Williams was going to the Jets at number 3. I mean, he was the best offensive lineman in this draft. If he's there at 9, it would be a crazy match for Jonah Williams.
Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, on with Howard and Jeremy this morning, talking about Alabama offensive tackle Jonah Williams. I remember when he was playing in the national championship, everyone was like, look out for him. This could be the guy you'd hope falls to the Bills at 9. And he's taken an interesting turn because now, I don't know, Draft Network's got him ranked really low. I've seen some places having him low in the first round. Where does Draft Network have him? Draft Network is 21st. Like, he's fallen. One spot above a running back is where Jonah Williams is on the Draft Network's rankings at this point. Although, they've been a little, I don't know how I feel about Draft Network's rankings. Like, their guys are smart. We have them on the station a lot. But you pull up their rankings, they got Noah Fant 7th overall, Metcalf 5th, Hockenson 8th, so you got two tight ends inside the top 10. That's still my favorite idea at this point. Let me know what you think. What's your favorite idea for the Bills next week at 9? Or trade up, or trade down. 803-0550 is the phone number. I still think my top idea for what I'd like to see them do is TJ Hockenson. I'm at the point where there's no receiver worth 9 overall. Metcalf gets talked about. Sal on our latest mock draft, WGR550.com, he has the Bills taking Metcalf 9th, and that is just way too risky in my mind. That could be a great player. It could be the next Julio Jones. He has that athleticism. But I'd be super worried that he's not going to pan out, and I'd be super worried about why he wasn't producing as much as he should have in college. And I just feel like I'd be doing the Sammy Watkins thing again. A loaded receiver class. I wouldn't call this receiving class loaded. I'd probably want to call it deep. There are a dozen names that get mentioned that could go in the first 3 rounds. Arkega Whiteside, Harry from Arizona State. The Ohio State kid who Nate Geary's got going in the first round. Hollywood Brown, who I love the idea of. Like A.J. Brown, Metcalf's teammate. There are a ton of receivers that are being talked about as guys that could be really good. So am I going to go ahead again and draft I have to have the top guy and watch 6 or 7 at his position in the same draft class go on to have solid careers?
If anything, though, this regime has kind of shown that they might draft the guy who might not necessarily have had the numbers on paper.
That's true.
That's like so. That's this, that, true. Actually, the Metcalf pick would be super on brand for what these guys are doing because they're just picking the guy that has the tools because they believe in their coaching system to bring that guy to his potential.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I've thought about that comparison a bunch. Like, you drafted Josh Allen because he looked amazing in shorts and t-shirts. And Metcalf, kind of the same thing. So I'd be a little nervous if they'd made that selection at 9. That's Nick Lozanowski, by the way. He's jumping on the board here on the Nightcap on WGR. If you were heading down to the Bisons game, you probably know by now because it's 7:30, but their game has been rained out. Hockenson. So really, it comes down to me. It's mostly the prospect, of course, because he's a very well-rounded, well-balanced tight end prospect. Great ball skills. Great blocker. He's probably the only guy I've watched more than 2 minutes of film on from last year. Good, solid player. And Bills fans will like him because he hurdled the guy. He's got that ability. The only worrisome thing maybe is his speed, which you don't necessarily, like, it's not a huge thing for tight ends. Tyler Eifert back in the day, I saw, ran like a 4.85, and he's never healthy, but when he is healthy, he's a dangerous receiving threat. So he could be, without the speed, still an elite tight end. And offensive is where I want them to go. I want them to pick offense. They need to start building around Josh Allen. And defensive tackle, defensive lineman, those are the positions that seem to be a bunch of them at the top of the draft. I think you should be able to fill those positions without investing heavily in them. Especially since you've already proven last year that you have enough talent on that defense to be top 10 or top 5, whatever they were. You've got solid corners. You've got great safeties. You're pretty set up at a linebacker. You invested in defensive tackle. I don't like Lotulelei, but you paid him $10 million a year. We didn't see a lot from Harrison Phillips, but you invested a third-round pick in that position. You're bringing Jordan Phillips back, who to me looked better than the other two last year at that position. I shouldn't have to invest that high a pick in that position when I just invested some in it before. And it's not a critical position to me, defensive tackle. Like, I should be able to find a position there. And the offense has been left wanting. You added guys, but you added B guys at best. Brown is a B guy. Beasley is a B guy. Croft, I'd be giving him credit, I think, if I called him a B guy. I mean, the Bengals chose two other tight ends to keep instead of him. He was the third string tight end when everyone was healthy there last season. So I think he's good. I've said before, he reminds me a lot of Scott Chandler. He's a bit goofy looking when he runs, but he's a target in the receiving game. He's super tall, and he's a decent blocker. But is he some great tight end, some elite tight end? I need to start putting some really highly talented guys around my highly talented quarterback. And at this point, I think you draft Hockenson 9th. I think he immediately becomes the most talented player on your offense, not named Josh Allen. I mean, look at the rest of your offense. It's second-round picks and third-round picks and free agents that, you know, you're paying modest money to, but no one's going, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't get John Brown. He's a nice player. I like they signed him. I like the style he is. But no one's losing sleep over not signing John Brown. And to me, that's where you're at. You've got good talent around him, but I need to do more than that. I need to start putting great talent around him, like the Chiefs did with Mahomes.
If you draft Hockenson, what you could end up with, really, between a combination of him and Cole Beasley running routes over the middle, you might actually make it easier for some of your other receivers on the outside.
Yeah.
Like if you have
Foster
both,
and Brown.
Yeah, especially. I mean, that's like a whole other dimension of the offense that they could open up. Is over the middle, because they haven't been doing much of that really for a while now.
No, yeah, especially with Tyrod. Do you think I'm crazy? I kind of want both Iowa tight ends. I don't know how they'll pull that off, but I kind of want Hockenson and Font. Would they be ridiculed if they did that? Draft Hockenson 9th, trade back into the first round, and draft Font? How crazy is that? Come on.
I think it'd
work. I don't know if it'd work. It'd be fun.
I mean, okay, but would you really want them to give up assets to get a second tight end like that?
He's fast.
Okay, there are a lot of people guy. That are fast. There are a lot of people that are That's vertical true. Guys at receiver. I'd rather them trade back in and try to pick a receiver instead of going for two tight ends, no matter how talented they are, because there's only a certain amount of those guys on the field at once. I mean, I don't know. It's
that
changing.
Idea works more too when if you didn't sign Croft. If they hadn't signed Croft, then I would really like that idea. It's not really realistic, I would say, since they did that. I like the idea of them trading back into the first round. I love Hollywood Brown. Now, I wonder what they would think about that, because you've got two guys now on the outside that you could describe as vertical threats. And even though I would say Foster is kind of unproven at this point, he's only had 6 or 7 games of real production. John Brown's been inconsistent throughout his career. So you've got two guys that play that role. But man, Hollywood Brown, just like, he could be something special in my mind. And you know what? Even though I like him more than Metcalf as a prospect, I'd be willing for them to take that risk if it's at the late first round. Like, if you draft someone 9 and then decide, all right, I've got all these picks. I've got 10 picks in total, made a bunch of free agent signings. I've only got so many roster spots up for grabs to begin with. Not all these guys are going to make the team anyway. So I'm going to trade 3 or 4 assets, 2 or 3 assets, to try to get back into the first round and draft a receiver. Then at that point, maybe I would rather have them do the Metcalf idea, because he could fall, and I like the idea of them chasing ceilings on players, and that can mean risky guys. And I think there is a point where I start to like the idea of Metcalf, and to me, it's about when you get to the 20s in the draft. Like, before 20, I don't like the idea of the Bills doing that. And I don't know how they would pick in the teens anyway, because to me, you're either trading down from 9, and then you're in the teens, and then I don't like Metcalf being there because he's my first player drafted. And 2, I don't really want to have to come all the way up to 15, 16, 17 from the second round. So the only way I like the Metcalf idea, I guess I'm saying here, is if I'm getting a chance to do it in like the mid-20s.
I would like it.
Which could happen. He could fall.
But I would like it more if they pick him in the 20s if their first pick was also a pass catcher.
Yeah,
because,
like, if they went Hockenson at 9 and then, like, Metcalf at 20, 21.
He's, a developmental project. Like, you don't want to have him come in and be your top target day one.
Sure.
Like, he has the potential to turn into that, obviously. I mean, he has all the physical tools and everything like that, but I would rather give him some, like, relief where he's not necessarily, where teams don't look at your roster and say, okay, this is the guy they're going to try to go to, and then he's catching double coverage from, you know, week 6 of his rookie season. Like, you know, it could hurt him.
Nate compared him to Laquon Treadwell last segment. Nate didn't have him going in round 1. And I've seen that other places. Man, if you could get him in round 2 somehow, you know Bills fans would fall in love with that. He compared him to Laquon Treadwell last segment. That's they went to the same school. Ole Miss.
But I don't think anyone disputes that Treadwell's talented. It just hasn't worked for whatever reason in Minnesota, but nobody's saying he can't play.
I would say he can't play. I don't know if I would say he's not talented. I don't think he can play.
Sure.
Dude drops every pass I've ever seen thrown to him. I've only seen a few passes thrown to him because he's hardly on the field. But drop issues have been a problem there. He can't get on the field.
Well, I guess, wouldn't you look... I would look at Treadwell and what he is now maybe as Metcalf's worst-case scenario, because what Treadwell has in Minnesota is 2 other receivers to take the attention away from him, and he still can't get onto the field despite his talents.
Yes, that is why I hate the idea at 9, and I always have hated the idea at 9, because, yes, there is a super high ceiling with that guy, but like you just said, worst-case scenario for DK Metcalf is Laquon Treadwell, and that is a nothing burger. That's nothing. That's a bust... And that's a player that is not playing on your team if you are good. And to me, that's what makes him a big boomer bust prospect, and that's why I don't like the idea of him at 9. Even though, in general, I'm kind of the guy that likes the idea of chasing the ceiling. And in this case, the fall is too far. The fall is to rock bottom for him. He could be a guy that you just can't even put on the field. That could happen. He's got a teammate that was getting more targets than him on the same field. If you're built like a Greek god and the other guy on your team is getting the ball thrown to him more, then what does that say about you? That means there's a red flag to me. And there's so many other receivers that's the big part of it. If there were no other receivers behind Metcalf in this class, then I would start to warm up to the idea. But since you've got all these other opportunities to hit on that position in the rest of the draft, to me, why are you taking that risk? Why would you take that risk? 803-0550 is the phone number. What do you think of Hockenson? What do you think of Metcalf? We'll switch to hockey just a little bit in the second hour. We'll give you a playoff scoring update. Actually, I'll give you that right now. It's tied 0-0, Leafs and Bruins in the first intermission. Only two games tonight, Leafs and Bruins now, and then the Avalanche looking to pull off a five-game series win on Calgary. It would be the first time in NHL history that the two top seeds in the NHL lost in round one. Not only would they lose, they'd be a combined 1-8. Crazy how the NHL, it's even possible. We'll talk a little hockey in the second hour. We'll do lots of draft tonight. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nick Lozanowski here on the Nightcap on WGR.
Yeah, I had him at ESPN.com. I talked to him. I moved him into the top 10 running back spot at one point. Big back. I thought he had enough balance and then tackle breaking ability and enough wiggle to complement that aspect of his game. Yeah, he's the kind of running back they always drop. Two rounds probably further down than they should. Everybody seems to have one or two. Some have three. So it's not a big need area once you get past the first five to seven running backs. He's not in that group. I think he's a late rounder priority free agent who will make a team.
Mel Kiper talking about running back. He was on with One Bills Live earlier today. We're actually going to play that back for you in hour number two, so prepare for that. Mel Kiper Jr. Is he the all-time Mel? Mel Kiper? No, Mel Brooks. He's got to be the all-time Mel.
Mel Gibson?
Mel... You know what? I'm going to... For his troubles, I'm going to put Mel Kiper over Mel Gibson. Is that crazy?
You're a sports fan. So no, but most normal people would say Mel Gibson.
We're going to put a poll up. Mel Gibson. Now, a lot of my followers are probably sports fans,
yeah.
So I'm not sure this is going to be a fair result, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's probably going to come back Mel Kiper, and then I'll get to say Mel Kiper is better than Mel Gibson.
Well,
Mel Brooks got to be number one, though.
I'm ashamed to admit I don't know who Mel Brooks is.
Oh. I mean, I kind of don't really know what Mel Brooks does either. We're two young guys here, by the way, so don't make fun of us. Mel Brooks, filmmaker, comedian, actor, composer.
How are you going to sit here, though, and say...
Just all-around talented person.
How are you going to indignantly say that he needs to be number one when you just also admitted you don't even know what he does?
Because people I respect Mel Brooks. That's why. It's respect via association. Like, I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm a lot. Larry David has Mel Brooks in that show and always talks about how much he loves Mel Brooks. Jerry Seinfeld, same thing. So, like, I guess I'm getting my Mel Brooks respect from them. But like I said, respect by association.
Old people like baseball, too.
That's true. What are you driving at there, Nick?
That you don't respect baseball.
I wouldn't say I don't respect baseball. I would say I don't like baseball.
You've told me on numerous occasions you don't think baseball is a sport.
But that was just to grind the gears and just get you fired up.
Of what? I'm not even baseball guy. That's Kyle Powell. Kyle Powell is baseball guy here. I don't care about baseball. I mean, I like it. It's fine. But you would just like, I would be in the other studio and you just kind of walk in there and be really, like, baseball's not a sport.
It's not fine. I have said before baseball is not a sport, but it is. Don't worry. It is.
E-gaming or baseball?
What's the game being played? What's the game being played? Is it Rocket League?
I'll give
you
the
Madden?
Field. You can have whatever you want.
Sports games? Is it like one of the three third-person shooters? What are we talking about?
I'll give you the field. You can have whichever one you want.
All right, I'll take esports.
E-gaming.
E-gaming.
E-athletes.
I've called it before.
E-athletes.
The Red Wings named Steve Yzerman their GM today. I want to say a word on that. Because the Sabres are looking around in their division, and everyone seems to be doing things that is, you know, should make them better. And we're still sitting here. So I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Lots of draft talk, though, in hour number two, as well as we are 6 days away from round one. We're 1 week away from round two. Still 0-0, Bruins and Leafs in first intermission. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Nick Lozanowski hanging out for another hour here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.